A great philosopher once said, UI, see you later. Let's get to some Braves talk. March Madness rolls on as the Braves get ready to face Drake for the third time this year for Valley Supremacy. Welcome to Braves Talk, everybody. This is a sick Iceman, Matt Frates, and across from me, as always, the pals, Coach and OG. What's up, guys?
Iceman, OG, Braves Nation, happy semifinal Saturday at Arch Madness. I suspect that there are probably some Braves fans in St. Louis who are in recovery mode right now after a late night at the Enterprise Center, and I'm sure celebrating afterwards at the various locations around St. Louis. And they are trying to get themselves right for the games today. And those of you who are at home, probably trying to knock out any of your household duties so that you can enjoy the two games that are on tap later this afternoon. So excited to be here and looking forward to today's ball games. Dad, what about you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, the top four seeds, semifinals, no excuses. No excuse for being tired. Outside of, hey, the upper bracket, I think both teams struggle. Lower bracket, you know, for both the teams playing today, they kind of breeze through. So, it's going to be fun.
I wouldn't say breeze through, except in the second half of this game. Because I did watch the first half, and then I passed out because the game started, 9:30 Eastern time? So, it was a little bit earlier for you guys. But Brad and I were texting back and forth about this game, and I was like, I don't want them hanging around. But we also agreed, Brad, that we didn't think that USC was going to have the legs in the second half, and I think that proved 100% correct.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the comments that Coach made at the half on the broadcast were spot on, that we had guys that were playing outside themselves a little bit. I think we were pressing at times, and then it was a weird combination. I think that in moments we were sort of pressing, trying to make some things happen, and other times I thought we were too passive and didn't take open shots when we had them. And it sounds like the message at halftime was pretty simple. Just it's basketball. Go out there and have fun and play the game. And that's what we saw in the second half. And I wasn't as worried as you guys were. I figured there would be, you know, UIC would come out guns a-blazing, and they did. And I thought that the Braves would have to, you know, blow the cobwebs off a little bit. And I think that's sort of what transpired. And then, you know, we took the game over in the second half and really left no doubt.
Yep. Yeah, just, playing with confidence, shooting the ball with confidence, to what Coach Wardle said at halftime. And they came out and did that. One person in particular I think needs to do some work on that is Almar needs to release quick and don't hesitate. You hesitate, you're lost. So, you know, he could have either got some shots off, some threes, or even fouled in the process. And those are all pluses. But he pulled down and tried to drive and made a few turnovers here and there. So came up scoreless. So that's all we need is confidence. Our guys need to play with confidence.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Brad, because the ESPN Plus crew was talking a couple of times in the first half about how they were making it too complicated. A few too many passes when you have a wide open shot or the ability to make something happen. And I thought that was the story of the first half, but I did tell you that I thought that Mal really held the team together in the first half. And if you look at his stat sheet from the first half to the second half, didn't really do a whole lot in the second half, but I kind of thought he kept the team together and was able to make sure that they were able to get to that second half and be able to play a little bit looser. And a lot of the other guys were able to come through. Like Duke Dean had, I think it was scoreless at halftime. And so, you know, that's not going to happen two halves in a row. Obviously, Connor Hickman had a great second half coming up with 20 points, but I thought that the second half was more indicative of the ceiling of the team, and hopefully they can play two halves of that today against Drake. But I agree with both of you, and you know, at the end of the day, it's a solid win, and that's all you can ask for.
You're absolutely correct, and I mean, we could have done without the five turnovers from Mal in the first half. Obviously, you know, Hick had four, so nine between, you know, two of our big four. But fortunately, you know, Mal does so many other things well that you can, not that, you know, obviously it's easy to forgive this kind of stuff in a win, but you can take the good with the bad sometimes if there's a category that he struggles in because all the other things he does well. And yep, we got Kevin there. Yeah, he is our section mate at Carver Arena. And he's absolutely right. Yeah, Arch Madness record for second half shooting percentage for UIC with 15%. Great defensive effort. Yep, I agree by Mal. Rivera was a non-factor, and they held UIC to 4 field goals in the second half, which was incredibly impressive. And I don't even think that they made their first field goal till beyond the 10-minute mark, or under the 10-minute mark in the second half.
Yeah, kudos to Kevin again. And I want to give him a shout-out, too. He gave me a stat yesterday that we need to look forward down the road is the key, and it actually increased the game, and that is Christian Davis. When he scores 8 or more points, we are now 15-2 overall, 9-1 in conference play when he scores 8 or more. So thanks, Kevin, for that information. And it's key to look forward to. Christian's our man.
Yeah, we got 24 points from the bench, which was key. I think the times that we've been on here after a game hasn't gone our way, we talk about the lack of production from the bench. So 24 points there. I thought that, Davis, Birch, and Linky all made big-time contributions off the bench. And those are things that you're going to have today to get it done against Drake, and then hopefully into tomorrow. And of course, we would have liked to have had that consistently throughout the year, but if there's a time to have it, it's right now, and you got to feel really good about it.
Yeah, a couple things that I took away too was turnovers, got to keep those down. Not going to be able to survive with winning the turnover disparity in the wrong way against Drake today. And of course, the free throw line, again, a huge disparity, 25-14, but the Braves went 6-14 from the line, and that was something Matt talked about last week about how if they make free throws, they're going to put themselves in a good position. And I think that could be something that could be worth watching today, especially against a team that they match up a lot more evenly with. And so great win against UIC, and now we're looking forward to Drake. But before we get to that, guys, let's take a look at the rest of the bracket. So I just want to say this out loud. The first round to me was really bad. It almost seems like any of the teams could really shoot. The basket was almost like a couple of feet higher for all of these other teams. And I felt bad thinking, God, this is not what I wanted to see. But yesterday I thought was a little bit better. Missouri State gave Indiana State everything they can handle. The trees move on. You and I edges Belmont. And Belmont was a team, Rick, that you thought could make a little bit of noise. But again, better coached team or a well-coached team, Ben Jacobson's UNI club. They make it through. So you're going to have Indiana State against UNI, which should be intriguing. And Drake just cruises past Evansville, and obviously Bradley cruises by. So that leaves us with, as you said, chalk for the semifinals 1-4. And so we have Drake coming in, and this is the third game now. And last year, losing to them in the final, losing to them twice this year, I hope that that's motivation enough.
Yeah, and, obviously we beat the tough-to-beat three times thing to death last week, so we don't have to go there. But we've done a lot of things. We did a lot of things in the two matchups against Drake this year that, kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. And, we talk about having to play a perfect game, or we're gonna have to play close to one for sure. And we can't beat ourselves. We have to eliminate unforced errors, of course. And you have to give credit to Drake though, also in some of those situations, because people get frustrated when they see their team play poorly against another good team. And it's like, well, that's because the other team's pretty damn good too. And they're doing things that are that are disrupting the flow. And that's a great point there too, again, by Kevin, that their bench outscored ours in both games. Yeah, Almar and Christian have combined for 7 points in two games against Drake. So yeah, we do have to take care of the ball. I agree completely. And we have to eliminate the big runs by Drake, and we can't get stuck on a number for too long. We just got to keep things moving. And I feel good about it, honestly. I mean, and I'll let Dad kind of get in here and talk about his analysis, but I think there's some other things that'll play a factor.
Yeah. Like I said, last Sunday, you looked at the stats, the shooting, and you just swore Bradley won by 10, with the field goal percentages. Then you move over to the fouls, the attempts, and the makes and the turnovers. And that was a huge difference in that game. And, the motivation of being you know, hey, moving on to the championship game, if we can pull off the win, being Drake, the second place team, knowing you've played them pretty good both times you've played them this year. The times you've lost to them both times was under 10 points each. That's within striking distance. You keep the turnovers down, the live turnovers. Like yesterday, you know, they had, steals. They had 12 steals on us. Them are live turnovers, you know, and we had 17 total. You know, you take even half of those steals away, you know, and we can't have that today. We can't have the large turnovers. Let's stop fouling. You know, let's play good, you know, in your face defense without contact. You know, if that's possible, still be physical. But yeah, we need to come at them and be confident, you know, and that, you know, hey, we're the dogs chasing them now, and we're going to get them. They got the big old zero on their back.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see if we do anything different defensively, because we switch on defense. And, you know, I told Dad last night ago, I've kind of made the mistake through these shows talking about Mal locking down the other team's best player. And yes, he does spend a fair amount of time guarding the other team's best player more often than not, but we switch. And so it's more of a team defense thing. And I think that, you know, going into this game, you know, as fans, we're like, all right, Mal's got to lock down DeVries, like plain and simple. That's what has to happen. But that doesn't necessarily fit in with how we play defense. So I'm curious to see if there are any adjustments that are made there to try to keep Mal on Tucker. Between Hannah and Almar, they're going to have to find a way to just keep Brody in check down low and not foul him, right? Keep him off the free throw line and just play smart physical defense. And we'll see what happens, you know. And let's not forget, at the end of the day, like, we really need Hickman and Dean to show up. Those guys got to show up and play like, you know, the all-league guys that they are.
Yeah, I love Hickman. Last week, he wasn't there, basically. He didn't show up, you know, at least in the stats. We need him. We need him today. We're going to need him today, and we're going to need him tomorrow. Let's be positive about this. We're going to need him tomorrow.
And I think you're also going to need the kind of quality bench minutes that we got in this game. I mean, these are guys we haven't talked about a whole lot in Birch and Christian Davis. And I think that if we're going to get the kind of solid minutes that we got there, I mean, Linky didn't have as many minutes. And obviously, if you look at the stat sheet, it's not as eye-popping. I did appreciate his amazing alley-oop there, which was clunky but effective. And it is what it is. But we're going to need that. I mean, Matt talked about it last week, 1-8. And these are guys, again, outside of Linky recently, Brad, we haven't really talked about these guys. I mean, Damari Birch getting, I think, 23 minutes in Christian Davis or something like that, where they're getting real playing time. And we're going to need that, because we're going to need that depth to shine through. And if some guys get in foul trouble or somebody struggles, we're going to need guys like that to keep this thing together. And I'm banking on the fact that that first half against UIC was sluggish. It was cobwebs. And they really turned it on. And I think that Coach Wardle's words, I think that everything that happened at halftime is going to translate to this game. And I think that that motivational factor is intangible, but I think it's real.
No, I agree completely. And we saw the things last night. What we saw last night was what we need to win this game, you know, minus the turnovers, obviously, and maybe the slower start on offense. But you mentioned quality minutes from the bench and great shooting from our guards. A great team defense. That's the recipe, man. That's what we've been asking for. And so you have to sit there and have confidence that the team's going to be able to carry that over into today and tomorrow. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. Obviously, they're a great basketball team. They're well coached. They've got the 2-time player of the year, all those things. We know that stuff, but you only got to beat them once, right? I mean, it's not like, we only got to beat them one time and by one point. That's all we need. And this team is perfectly capable of doing that. And, and Kevin mentioned, again, kind of avoiding those situations where we, you know, we kill ourselves down 16-6 in the first 5 minutes when they came to Peoria. And then obviously the 17-2 run to end the first half when we went to their place. And if we can eliminate that and we don't put ourselves in a hole that we have to, you know, climb out of, you have to feel good about our chances. And also, you know, you talked about the revenge thing. I think there are a few... There are a few coaches out there who I think do a better job of finding a way to put a chip on a player's shoulder or on a team's shoulders than Brian Wardle. I feel like he's masterful at, you know, this underdog role and finding a way to motivate his team to come out and play well. And if you watched any comments from the press conference after last night's game, you know, Connor Hickman mentioned that, you know, it didn't feel good that game. The game last year where they lost the championship against Drake did not feel good. That feeling has resonated with him for a year. And, you know, they've been waiting for this opportunity. And so I'm excited to see how they answer.
Yeah, and from all accounts on X, it looked like Bradley fans traveled really well. Hopefully they can have a slight edge again in that to keep things moving. So if Bradley goes on a run, the crowd starts to get into it, and maybe we can almost fake a home court advantage hit there in St. Louis. And that was one thing I really took away, as you could tell. It was loud on TV, quite honestly.
Yeah, Bradley fans always travel well to Arch Madness, especially when the team is performing well. And I think you're going to see even more fans there today. A bunch of stuff on X of people heading that way. And it's exciting, man, all around. And I can't wait. And I wish we could make it down tonight. It's just not going to happen. But, you know, the Braves take care of business. I anticipate being on the road to taking the championship game tomorrow.
Rick, how did you feel about the officiating in this game?
Oh, I'm sure. I got positive and negative things to say about officiating for every game. Not bad. I mean, I think, well, there's the foul on the three-point shooter on Duke Dean. I mean, the smallest guy on the floor. And they did show the replay, and, man, it was like, okay, he got his hand, but, man, so slight, you know. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm one of these, you know, if it's minimal contact, you don't call that stuff. But I think flopping needs to also be called. You can call two double fouls if you want as officials. It's in the rule books. But you get a shooter like that gets barely swiped on the hand. You can go ahead and call the foul on the defender, and a guy makes a dramatic flop. You need to call that too. So, I mean, that's just that's all part of the rules. But, you know, I'm sure somebody out there will disagree with me on that and the technicality. But, you know, hey, I don't care. You know, I just, you know, come on. You know, if whistle blows, just you don't need to fall down and cry like a baby.
They've been watching LeBron too long. What can I say? But, Brad, you did say up until a point, you're like, I feel like the officiating has been consistent and fair. And then two fouls in a row, you're like, never mind. I take that back.
Yeah. And I had a feeling, like, as soon as I said that it was going to change. Because, yeah, through the first, 10 minutes or so, maybe longer, I don't know. I was like, you know, I feel like the officials, I hadn't noticed them, you know, and that's a good thing when you don't notice officials. And I mean, and there were fouls being called, but they weren't, it didn't seem apparent that the officials were trying to make their presence known, as you see sometimes. And so I felt pretty good about that. And then not too long after, everything changed a little bit. But, and we joke all the time at the games and here at home, whenever there's a discrepancy in the fouls, you know, you just know it's coming. You know, if they've got 6 or 7 fouls and Bradley's got 1 or 2, you know that by halftime it's going to be pretty much even or real close. And so it is what it is. We've dealt with it all year, and we just have to take it as part of the game, unfortunately. And yes, Bowen Bourne, Valley President Bowen Bourne, and the embellishment department and flopping, absolutely. But you got something to add? Go ahead.
Yeah. I think a call that, you know, it didn't get called this way, but on further review, it very well could have. There could have been an intentional foul called on the guy, Hannah, blocked a shot and ran down. You know, because, I mean, if you're going up to try and block a shot, you got to at least go for the ball. This wasn't even close to the ball. It was, he grabbed whacked his left hand, and the ball wasn't even in his left hand. And, you know, it's called a typical 2-shot, but that could have been.
And how about UIC pressing, like, in the last 2 minutes of the game, down 30 points, pressing, and then, you know, the dunk, when they didn't have to take a shot, and the guy goes down and dunks it. It's just, I whatever, it's irrelevant, but I find it kind of funny. And then, you know, Luke Yaklich is a joke, man. Like, the guy's, he's halfway on the floor, like, when, you know, we're playing offense in front of his bench, and just constantly throwing a fit, man. And it's tough to watch sometimes. And whatever, you see it from all coaches. So, I mean, obviously I'm just looking at this as from the Bradley fan perspective during last night's game. but he just is so whiny. And but again, part of the game, we see it all the time. And you know, we're moving on from UIC and looking forward to the Bulldogs.
So I want to ask you guys something, and it's not related to the Braves, although it is kind of related. So Southern Illinois mutually parts ways with their coach, and that means he got fired. And I've seen a lot of takes on this, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on it because obviously it affects the future of Bradley basketball. And from all accounts, it seemed like fairly successful statistical record, but not a lot of big wins. But a lot of people that seemed to be closer to the program felt like it was a shock, and also that he was doing things the right way, a guy who played for the program. And Brad, I told you yesterday, he was on the last SIU team to make the NCAA tournament, and their last victory was against my Virginia Tech Hokies. So I just wanted to see if you guys had any thoughts on that, even though it's not related to Bradley specifically.
It caught me off guard a little bit. You know, I think that maybe if things kept going the way that they seem to be tracking for them, you know, maybe things were going to go in that direction. But also, I think what hasn't helped them is the fact that Damask and Jones both left and are having success elsewhere at a high level. And I'm sure that didn't do him any good. But say, I find it funny because like those guys all tweeted that they support him and it's like, yeah, but you support him so much that you left him, you know? I mean, and I get that's the world, you know, NIL and everything else. We don't got to go down that road. But I did see something on X from someone who seemed to be familiar with the situation that said that it was kind of an internal hatchet job by one small-time booster, or excuse me, one staff member administrator, one administrator and a handful of small-time boosters, like, kind of went, it sounds like the whole thing caught the athletic department off guard, like they didn't even know it was coming type of thing. And just very weird. I mean, the sentiment that you kind of see from most SIU fans is all positive towards Brian Mullins. And it's unfortunate when anybody gets fired, loses their job. I mean, but in the coaching world, it's part of the business. And two, at the same time, I guess it just depends on your standard. You know, a Valpo would take what SIU has had during Brian Mullins' tenure, and a lot of other places would too. But, you know, I guess you could say that they're establishing the standard there, that what's taken place in his time there is not good enough to be retained. You know, let's see what move, where they go next. I don't know. I haven't researched much if there's a, you know, someone out there that's a favorite to take the job, but I'm sure my dad has a few thoughts.
I don't know.
Yes, Minister-
administration. Now I also understand that the AD there is fairly new. So obviously when new ADs come in, they want to give it a year or so, and then they're going to bring in their guy. But, you know, hey, the success of Mullins, you know, his overall record may not be super spotlighted. But, I mean, they finished third last year. They were one game out of getting the bye this year, you know, so pick up a battle win somewhere along the line. And their first game was yesterday. But, you know, I don't know. Mullins is a very good coach. He'll land on his feet to see where he goes and wish him all the best.
One thing it made me think about was you talked about standards and expectations, Brad, and how Coach Wardle has created a culture where the expectations are high, and he's continued to meet those expectations to the point that the university continues to retain him. And in today's college world, where you either win or you get cut, I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're part of the program or not. When Mullins gets cut and he was on the team, played for the program, right? Lives, eats, and breathes SIU basketball. And he's gone because the culture of winning is that, and the expectations become unrealistic sometimes. And so it makes me appreciate a guy like Wardle, who's been here. He's on, what, his ninth season, going to be coming up on his 10th if he stays. And that's really awesome, especially at a school that a lot of people in the national spotlight would see as like a jumping point to larger jobs. And for the culture to be able to be created here in Peoria, I think is awesome. And when you see a lot of this turmoil in other Valley schools, that's a great thing for Bradley, in my opinion.
Yeah, Bradley's in a really good position compared to other schools in the Valley in a lot of different ways. And the program's in a really healthy place. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of potential moving forward either way. I mean, it would be, I think a lot of people would hate to see, you know, Wardle go whenever that day comes. But it would be the first time in a really, really long time that Bradley was hiring a coach because their former coach got hired away for a better job, like, you know, got promoted basically. And that hasn't been the case for a really long time. And, you know, if it comes to that at some point, obviously we'll talk about it. But I hope Brian Wardle stays for a really long time and we just keep this thing rolling.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, so it's your time. You are the prognosticator here. You obviously get almost all your picks right. And so there are two games left to pick. And I would love to know what your non-homer picks are for these games today.
Okay, the non-homer picks. The first one's going to be tough, you know, because Indiana State, but I got to say, even yesterday, they played that maybe a half. You know, we talked about breaking down how many minutes of good basketball Bradley's been playing lately. 30, you know, we need 35 to 38 minutes of good basketball today from Bradley. But Indiana State yesterday, I mean, it was a three-point game at half. You know, and then it took a little while for them to get kicked up. And then it, you know, Mo State got a little playing me ball and out of the team concept. You know, you saw what happened. So I don't necessarily think that overall Indiana State has been playing super great, not like they had earlier in the year. But they're going to have to today against Northern Iowa. And if they, because Northern Iowa's pretty deep as well, deeper than Indiana State. I'm going to go out on a limb on this one. I'm going to give it to UNI.
Oh, man.
Probably maybe by 5.
Okay. All right. And what about Bradley and Drake? I know this is tough to be a non-homer, but your analytical mind, give us your analytical thoughts and then just go be you all the way.
I felt differently even waking up this morning thinking about this game than I did the other two. Whereas the other two, I was uncertain, kind of knowing our past, knowing Drake. I think we can pull one out. I really do. But if we do, it's going to be very similar, maybe 5. And I think I'm going to go out on a limb and do that as well. It's going to be you and I and Bradley in the championship game.
That would certainly be worth watching. You get some veteran coaches there. And I always think that veteran coaches matter a lot this time of year because, I mean, yes, Indiana State has the reigning coach of the year, but Ben Jacobson's been there a long time. He's seen pretty much everything, and it's difficult for him to get rattled. So I don't think that you're way off, but I hope that you're more right about the second pick than you are about the first pick, because I don't really care who wins the first game as long as Bradley wins today, because I want to be doing this again for the title game, and I want to have something to celebrate, damn it.
I got to say, honestly, I want Indiana State to win.
You were hesitant to say that last week. Last time you were like, I don't care.
No. After watching them closely, you know, even yesterday, and knowing how we played them at their place, yeah, I want them to, and I want Northern Iowa to give them all they can handle and Indiana State to pull it out. I'd much rather play Indiana State than Northern Iowa right now. But we'll take either. Hey, fear none. Play anywhere and fear none. So
that's
we'll
right.
Take them all.
It is that time of year for that kind of stuff. Well, guys, game is in a couple of hours. I'm going to be away. So hopefully my luck of not watching and having the team do really, really well will translate today. Going to be celebrating a little man's birthday with some other folks. So I will hopefully be able to tune in a little bit. But do you guys have any parting thoughts before we get everybody out of here so they can get their chores done and go watch the game?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what this other game you guys were talking about is. As far as I know, there's only one game that matters today, and that's at 5 o'clock this evening. And I fully expect the Braves to come out and be ready to play. If, you know, for Drake to win this game, it's going to take everything they have, because I think that you're going to see the best version of the Bradley Braves today. And we've talked a lot about that version of the Braves is really difficult to beat and would be really difficult to beat. And so all about the Braves today, of course, and whoever wins this other game you're talking about, they can take their beating tomorrow when the time comes.
All right. I love it. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. If you're not in St. Louis and you decided to tune in to us, we really appreciate that. And hopefully we will be able to celebrate a win tomorrow. If not, we will still be back after the result of this game, because we have the offseason to look forward to no matter what happens. But let's all be positive. Braves win today, and we get to break down, hopefully tomorrow, a championship game. But I want to thank everybody again. I hope this finds everybody well and safe. Have fun watching the game, whether you're in St. Louis, whether you're not in St. Louis. And we'll talk to you next time. From the OG, from the coach and me, this is Braves Talk.
The opinions and viewpoints expressed on INC Sports are those of Matt Freights, Brad Powell, and their guests, and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. INC Sports is exclusively owned by Matt Freights and Brad Powell and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.